As we sit, let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the same and never change. We pray that by your Holy Spirit you will speak to our hearts and minds where they need speaking to this morning, in encouragement and in challenge. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, I don't need to say too much about inspiring Ipswich and holy habits, but if you want to read more, they're on the back of your news sheet. Apart from to say, I know I would value your prayers over these next 2 to 3 months, because the Inspiring Ipswich vision that we have to turn Ipswich around, we have to get all the information together very quickly to send to the church commissioners to bid for this money, to employ evangelists and community and children and family workers and such things. So I would value prayer, please, as I fit that into everything else, including what an ordinary rural dean or area dean does. And I've still not been told what that is yet after over a year, so there you go. Make it up as you go along, really. And holy habits, I hope you'll really sort of enjoy what I've written a bit on the back of the news sheet, what we're going to be looking at as disciples growing deeper over these next 10 months starting in September. For those of you from All Saints and Triangle, apologies, but we finish our series today on Hebrews. And I think Phil's got the pictures for me, fantastic. And there'll be some pictures going up as we go through this little brief talk today. We've discovered, as we've gone through Hebrews, and it's only been brief really, who Jesus is in our lives, and that Jesus is bigger and better than the angels, bigger and better than Moses and Aaron, bigger and better than the best of sacrifices. He is the great sacrifice. Bigger and better than the great high priest. Bigger and better than Melchizedek, the great high priest. Jesus is, in fact, in all 66 books of the Bible, throughout history and beyond. I wonder if you believe me in that. Well, I'm going to try pressing this. It does work. There we go. Some of the names of Jesus. In Genesis, just a brief selection for you. He's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. Further on in Psalms, he is the Lord, our shepherd. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Daniel, he's the fourth man, I believe, in the fiery furnace with those three men. Even in the minor prophets as you go through the Old Testament, in Obadiah, he is mighty to save. And in Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. That's just a selection from the Old Testament. What about the New? Well, in the New Testament, look in Luke's Gospel, he's the Son of Man. In Romans, he's our justifier. In Philippians, he is the God that supplies all our needs. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our soon and coming king. In James, he's our great physician. And in Revelation, we know that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus, in all the scriptures, with all the names that he's called, he is the same as we'll be thinking today, yesterday, and forever. But back to Hebrews, which we're looking at today. And if you've got a Bible, do turn to chapter 13. It might be useful, it might not. You might not want to look at me or the screen. You can look at the scriptures. We've learned Jesus is the great, holy, and pure sacrifice once and for all. He's the one who gave his life for us. And today that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a powerful verse that is. Most of us know it, but now you know where it is. It's in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Because it contains the name of Jesus, and that's what I want to focus on briefly this morning. A cynic once said that nothing is permanent except change. Hands up if you've never had change in your life. That's good to know, isn't it? We live in a world of change, don't we? Everything from ladies' shoes, sorry ladies, to legislation, from smartphones to stomach sizes, that's where I suck mine in, from furniture to finances. Styles and customs and conditions can change overnight. World events, if we look broader, seem to tumble over each other with barely enough time to happen. And in our lives today, everything changes. Technology, for example, it advances at such a pace, doesn't it? Lawrence will know, dealing with fridges and washing machines, it changes all the time, doesn't it? He nods his head, thankfully. But we must stay informed, mustn't we, when we think of technology, in order to succeed in everyday lives. How many of you are on the internet at home? Be brave and stick your hands up. Quite a few of you. Are you on Facebook, Frieda? Yes. Who can remember when there were no computers? Who can remember when there were no cell phones? Oh, joy. Who can remember when there was no internet or email? Oh, big sigh. Etc., etc., etc. In such a breathtaking age that we live in, people look here and there for a point of permanence. Our world looks for that. Some, you see, rely on financial investments, but money only serves to purchase more change, really. Others seek to endure through fame or honours and position, but how soon the famous are forgotten. Some rely on friends. Friends are good, but too many friends are like shadows, follow only in the sunny weather, and when things are bad, they desert us. Even the best of friends, sadly, are sometimes called away. Thousands seem to escape life's boredom through modern fads and isms. Someone once said that the religion of China is Confucian. The religion of America is confusion. Think about that for a minute. Men wander, don't they, in wildernesses of cults, seeking lasting satisfaction. Facing change is unsettling for most of us. Some of our children change from GCSEs to A-levels, from A-levels to university. We must continue to pray for them. I love this story. A man from the back mountains of Tennessee found himself one day bemused in a large city for the first time, and he was standing outside an elevator. He watched an old, haggard woman hobble into the elevator, and the doors closed. A moment later, the doors opened, and a young, attractive woman marched smartly off. The father hollered to his son, "Billy, go get mother quickly!" Well, change. It happens, doesn't it, to all of us. It's hard to believe now, isn't it? But the potato was once a highly unpopular food. When first introduced into England by Sir Walter Raleigh, newspapers printed editorials against it. Ministers preached sermons against it. I'm not going to do that. And the general public wouldn't touch it. It was supposed to sterilise the soil in which it had been planted and cause all manner of strange illnesses, even death. Now it's one of the most popular foods, isn't it, available to us, particularly if you like McDonald's or Burger King. In a world where things change so fast, and I've tried to just paint a brief image of that, life seems to move so fast, and where we feel sometimes, I don't know if you've ever felt left behind by it all. It's tremendously comforting to know that we have a Saviour who never changes. We see change all around us, including in our bodies. And talking about change, do you remember the Beatles song, The Night Before, where the lyrics say, "Love was in your eyes the night before. Now today I find you have changed your mind." Things change so quick, even the deepest of relationships. That's how fast things change. So what of our sovereign, eternal Lord Jesus? Well, firstly, three things for you to think about the name of Jesus, which stands out from the whole of Hebrews. Firstly, the power of Jesus' name never changes and never fails. What an amazing name. Just consider it for a moment as we've been thinking in Hebrews. Think of it for yourselves, whatever church you're from. It carries so much power, and that power is still the same. I've prayed in that name in hospitals, in emergency rooms, just this last week at somebody's deathbed, at funeral homes, at church services. And I trust and believe, as others trust and believe, that it's brought comfort and strength. It's such a privilege to see somebody who is dying joining in, praying with you, albeit briefly. A real privilege. The name of Jesus has been used down the centuries, and it still remains the most powerful name. Don't let anybody con you. The still most powerful name ever known. So whatever struggles you're going through, however old or young you are, call on the name of Jesus. Think back to Acts 3, that example where a crippled man at the temple asked Peter and John for alms. Peter responded by saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And an amazing miracle happened. Someone once said that the beggar asked for alms and got legs. Play on the word alms there. There's great power in the name of Jesus, and that power is available today, not to do our bidding, but to answer our prayers in the way God deems fit. The power of Jesus' name never fails. He never changes. Since the present tense is used here, it means that Jesus' claims and teachings and promises never change. Hang on to that. That's why he constantly used the term "I am" to refer to himself. He is a Saviour who's always present to guide, comfort, and strengthen us. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, if you're listening to this recording, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens." Therefore, he is with you right now, today, whatever it is that you're bearing. And of course, besides his most powerful claims, his love and faithfulness never change too. Here are just three of the many claims Jesus made. "I am the resurrection and the life. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full," or abundantly. "My grace is sufficient for you." If you're going through a tough time, hang on to that. Paul did, St. Paul did, and we can do too. "My grace is sufficient for you." Let's be willing to hold on to and trust the claims of our Lord Jesus, who is always the same and never changes. So the power of Jesus' name never fails. He never changes, and he never changes in all seasons. And I wanted to actually make that point. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The last part of the verse covers every season of our lives. Some of us are younger, sitting here. Some of us are not so young. Some of us are older. And I'm not looking at Frieda when I say that. I just got that. Oh, well done. Cue the laugh. Every season of our lives is covered. The past, the present, the future. Think of the past of yesterday, briefly. Jesus can change amazingly the shame and failures of our past, and we all have them. "You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood," Isaiah said in chapter 54. Jesus changes what was past and sets us free into the present. We're reminded, aren't we, of how good he's been in the past, in all our yesterdays. Some of us have got more yesterdays than others. Jesus is the same today, in the present. He's faithful and real in today's challenges. And whatever today is, he will be ready and present with us in those. Someone once said, "The days of miracles is not past, because the God of miracles is still present." I love that phrase. The God of miracles, the day of miracles is not past, because the God of miracles is still present. And yesterday, today, and what about tomorrow or forever? He knows your future. Just remember that as you sit there looking at me thinking, is he ever going to finish? He knows our future, and he's already planned for it. That's worth remembering too. He's also planned eternal blessings for you as you trust your life for him. Isn't that amazing? I remember singing what was a well-known hymn when I was a bit younger. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." It was said once, and I quote, that "the world takes its notion of God most of all from those who say they belong to God's family." That's us. "They read us a great deal more than they read the Bible. They see us. They only hear about Jesus." That's a big kick up the backside to me. This inspiring Ipswich vision that we have for the whole of Ipswich Deanery is about all of us, not just Nick and a few others, stepping up to be Jesus where we are. "They read you where you'll be tomorrow. People will look at you, and if they know you're a Christian, they will see Jesus, hopefully, in you. And that statement I've just read is a reason that perhaps chapter 13 of Hebrews is given to us in the manner that it is. Our lives, our words, our actions, hopefully point people to our living Lord, especially when change hits them and when we face change ourselves. Most of Hebrews is given for the purpose of doctrine and pointing constantly to Jesus, with the last two chapters emphasizing the duty of the believer in his or her practical existence. It's certainly not enough to know the truth without obeying the truth. Like a laser beam of truth, this last chapter 13, and read it again later, is beaming with an exhortation, challenging you and me to let our light so shine on our front lines wherever they may be. Our brief journey, as I said, through Hebrews concludes today. We've learnt, I hope, that we can't be a spectator as a Christian. If Jesus is your Lord today, then you and I are involved in the race of life and faith. So being an onlooker in the arena of the Christian faith, well, it's risky, if not doable. We're to be maturing, hence looking at this Holy Habits course as we deepen our discipleship. We're to be maturing and growing stronger as followers of Jesus. And we do need to venture out in faith, which is why what Julie shared about the inspiring Ipswich vision is a real challenge to make new Christians, with God totally involved with that. It is risky, but faith is about risk as we live for Jesus day by day. It's a far greater risk to be only a spectator. The whole of Hebrews, as I sum up now, appears and appeals to severely tested believers to keep their faith firmly anchored to the moorings of truth, to maintain their steady confidence in Jesus, and then to press on to maturity and Christian maturity and stability. Let's, folk, keep our eyes as we venture out into new things as three different churches, firmly fixed on our Lord Jesus. And let's hear those who've gone before us in their countless millions cheering us on to complete our race of faith, who, like St. Paul, said, "I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I have kept the faith." As we sit, let's bow our heads for a moment. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip each and every one of us, our children and young people, those who are not with us, to do every good work, that we may do his will wherever he calls us this coming week, as we, by word and deed, show people that Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be forever. And in his name we pray. Amen.